From down the hall came the sound of running water. It stopped, and then Kurt came back into the supply room, blotting his mouth with a paper towel.
"Pretty awful, isn't it?" Sandy asked. "Even dead."
"Pretty awful," he agreed, but he was heading back in there even as he spoke. "I thought I understood, but it caught me by surprise." Sandy got up and went to the doorway. Kurt was looking into the bag again, but not reaching in. Not yet, at least. That was a relief. Sandy didn't want to be around when the kid touched it, even wearing gloves. Didn't even want to think about him touching it.
"Was it a trade, do you think?" Kurt asked.
"Huh?
A trade. Ennis for this thing."
For a moment, Sandy didn't reply. Couldn't reply. Not because the idea was horrible, although it was, but because the kid had gotten to it so fast.
"I don't know."
Kurt was rocking back and forth on the heels of his shoes and frowning down at the plastic garbage bag.
"I don't think so," he said after a while. "When you make a swap, you usually do the whole deal at the same time, right?"
"Usually, yeah." He closed the bag and, with obvious reluctance, re-knotted the top.
"I'm going to dissect it," he said.
"Curtis, no! Christ!"
"Yes."
He turned to Sandy, his face drawn and white, his eyes brilliant.
"Someone has to, and I can't very well take it up to the biology department at Horlicks. Sarge says we keep the Strickly in-house, and that's the right call, but who does that leave to do this?"
"Just me, unless I'm missing something." Sandy thought, "You wouldn't take it up to Horlicks even if Tony hadn't said a goddamn word about keeping it in-house. You can bear to have us in on it, probably because nobody but Tony really wants anything to do with it. But share it with someone else? Someone who doesn't wear Pennsylvania gray and know when to shift the hat strap from the back of the head to under the chin? Someone who might first get ahead of you and then take it away from you? I don't think so." Kurt stripped off the gloves. "The problem is that I haven't cut anything up since Chauncey, my fetal pig in high school biology. That was 9 years ago, and I got a C on the course. I don't want to fuck this up, Sandy."
"Then don't touch it in the first place."
Sandy thought it, but didn't say it. There would have been no point in saying it. "Oh, well," the kid talking to himself now, nobody but himself. "I'll bone up. Get ready. I've got time. No sense being impatient. Curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction."
"What if that's a lie?" Sandy asked.
He was surprised at how tired of that little jingle-jangle he had grown. What if there's no satisfaction? What if you're never able to solve for X? Kurt looked up at him, almost shocked. Then he grinned.
"What do you think Ennis would say? If we could ask him, that is."
Sandy found the question both patronizing and insensitive. He opened his mouth to say so, to say something anyway, and then didn't. Curtis Wilcox didn't mean any harm. He was just flying high on adrenaline and possibly as hyped as any junkie. And he really was a kid. Even Sandy recognized that, although they were much of an age. "Ennis would tell you to be careful," Sandy said. "I'm sure of that much."
"I will," Kurt agreed, starting up the stairs.
"Oh, yeah, of course I will." But those were just words, like the doxology you rush through in order to get free of church on Sunday morning. Sandy knew it, even if probationary trooper Wilcox did not.